Grace to you and peace from God, his Father, and from his Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. Excuse my throat issue this morning. I had some fairly major tooth work done on Thursday, and Dr. Spears says today will be my worst day. So I'm struggling with that just a little bit, but we will go forward. The text that I've chosen for our thoughts this morning to guide us is a combination of all of them, but specifically, you know, the Old Testament lesson where we find the people of God at Mount Horeb, where they were grumbling against God, and God, suffered his punishment upon them by sending snakes with a deadly venom. And then he tells Moses to put this bronze snake, make a bronze snake and put it on a pole and hold it up, and when people looked at it, they would live. And then it's picked up again by St. John in the Gospel of St. John in the third chapter, the verses we just read, where he says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is our text. You may be seated. The command was given by God to Moses to make up a bronze snake and put it on a pole and lift it up. And it must have sounded really weird. Who would come up with such a stupid idea, to put a bronze snake on a pole and lift it up, and people are going to look at it and they're going to be saved from the deadly venom of the serpents? Who would have come up with such a thing? Stare at a bronze snake on a pole. Must have sounded pretty silly. Silly enough that some Israelites started to look for more reasonable, more rational solutions to their deadly snake bites. Now, one elder among the Israelites couldn't bear telling the people that these poisonous vipers were the result of God's judgment upon their sinful behavior. And so, he didn't want to wound their self-esteem. He didn't want to hurt kind of sensitive inner child. So instead of directing people to the snake on the pole, this elder self-esteem guy set up support groups, hoping to make people feel better. And people did feel better. And that's a good thing. But they still died because they never bothered to look at the serpent on the pole. We chuckle a little bit at these kinds of things, but we often think the same way. We prefer those who make us feel happy about ourselves instead of telling us the truth. We know the truth, but we don't like people to tell us the truth. We want them to make us feel good about ourselves. And when this happens in the church and we don't see the sin that has poisoned us and that we are dying of its venom, then we never look to the snake on the pole, if you will. I mean, Christ on the cross, to get that life that God has provided for us. There was another elder in the Israel camp. He believed that the real problem was the people's lack of faith, and so he said, we need to speak faith into what's happening here. This elder, look within guy, shouted. And he said that it's faith that saves, so elder look within taught people to look to their own faith, look within themselves for salvation. And instead of looking at some stupid snake on a pole, what did that matter anyway? The snake merely represented something that God was doing. And so some of the people began to look inward, and they died because they weren't looking at the snake on the pole. Some in the camp became angry with Moses, and I mean, who was this man not allowing women to hold up the snake on the pole anyway? And one of the women complained, he says, I'm not going to look at a snake on a pole that a man is holding. And soon after that, she died of the snake bite. And many in the camp held a candle vigil for her, though, in her honor. Others ask, did God really tell Moses to put a snake on a pole, or did Moses just make that one up himself? You know, and this group, led by Elder Higher Criticism, felt that this was merely Moses' opinion. And after all, he could explain any healings that had taken place by natural causes. And another group persistently defended the divine inspiration of Moses. An elder fundamentalist guy led the group. And what was essential to him was that people realized that what Moses said was true, and so that became his focus. And then sadly, elder fundamentalist teachings reduced the opportunities for people to see the snake on the pole when they were proving that what Moses said was true, they weren't looking at the snake. So they died. One elder believed that each person had to decide for themselves about the snake, whether he would look at the snake on the pole or not. And so elder make a decision concentrated on that. And he began having gatherings where he would first condemn the horror of the poisonous snakes. And later he would then invite people to come forward and decide to look at the snake on the pole. One elder agreed that the life in the camp had indeed become dire. But he thought that the idea of immediately directing people to the snake on the pole was a poor business model. He said, we should find out what the people are looking for. So this elder, synodical growth guy, asserted that it might take up to 6 months of working with snake seekers before they would willingly look at the snake on the pole. And so instead, he surveyed the people to find out what they wanted. And they wanted aerobic classes. They wanted a softball team or a synodical softball team. And so they could more quickly kind of get back in shape and run away from the snake on the pole. Or all run away from the snakes, not the snake on the pole. They didn't care about that. Others wanted to learn real life practical principles for living in a camp infested with snakes on a pole, or snakes running loose everywhere. Others wanted only to get together and sing lighthearted emotional songs so that they could just forget about the snakes for a while. And yet, while Elder Synagogue Growth waited for people to be willing to look at the snake on the pole, many died. And then came Elder Moderate. He was the new leader in the camp now. He felt that his reasoning and his advice was far beyond anyone else's. He simply smiled at all the constant bickering and said, people, please, in the end, the differences that we have about the snake on the pole won't matter. After all, they're just mere matters of practical application. Can't we just get along? Now, I know some of these allegories might make you chuckle a little bit, and others might just hit just a little bit too close to home to be funny. But when the poisonous snake attacks, God set up one specific way for the children of Israel to survive. They had to reject everything else and look up at the bronze snake that Moses made and placed upon a pole. And if a snake had bitten them and they did this, they would live. And if not, we're told that they died. It didn't matter what else the Israelites did, how they felt, or how spiritual they might think of themselves, or that to make it seem. It didn't matter if they prayed to the transcendent Father in heaven or sought the immediate aid of the Spirit. If they didn't look at the bronze snake, they would die. For that snake on a pole was how God said he would come to them and save them. And what God chose to do wasn't really up for debate. And so I'll ask, do you find yourself struggling against God, wanting to live a life on your own terms instead of his? Can you feel the snake bites, you know, whatever snakes have slithered into your life and are working on your heels? And they are there to turn your heart back to God, to cause you to fall before Him and admit that you are a dying sinner. But thank God that we have a cure. Just like the Israelites had a cure. Of course, it's not a bronze snake. But it's the God who stood behind the bronze snake. You see, the power of the snake was in God's word of promise connected to the snake. And without God's command and promise, looking at the bronze snake would have been a kind of a silly thing to do. But because God said it was so, it was. The snake on the pole brought life to those in the throes of death itself. And those who trusted God's promise looked at the snake and they lived. And those who refused to believe that something so silly and unreasonable could save them never looked at the snake. Took their eyes away. They died, although God's promise and healing was right there given to them, and it was meant for them as well. You see, Jesus is the anti-venom for the snake bite of sin, if you will. And just like in the Old Testament, the cure resembles the sickness. Why did God put a snake on a pole? It wasn't just to save the Israelites from death. But as in much of the Old Testament, it was to teach something about the future. A future that includes you and me. To show us how He was going to save from death. The snake on the pole pointed forward to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And the gospel lesson this morning says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. And on that cross, we see the very image of our sin and God's wrath. See, the Son hangs dead, abandoned by His Father, cursed and damned in our place. How despicable it looks. How silly it looks to the world. Who would have thought of such a silly, stupid thing anyway, the world tells us. Don't join them. Don't ever look away from the cross where Christ hangs in your stead to save you from your sins. No matter how stupid it might seem, that instrument of execution is God's way of saving you. On the pole, the Israelites saw their healing. And they saw God's mercy. And on the cross, we see the same. We see our healing, and we see God's mercy. But here's where it kind of gets sticky, doesn't it? Today, we can't turn to the cross and receive Christ's blood-bought forgiveness. Oh, I can tell you to look at the cross for healing, but the cross that Jesus died on is no more. It doesn't even stand on Calvary anymore. It's not there. We can't go to it and see the cross. And Jesus isn't there. So where can we look today to see the cross or see Christ on the cross for us? Where can we find Him here in Holiday Island? You can find God where He tells you, where He tells you to look for Him. Just like He told the people of Israel through Moses where to look. Look at the bronze serpent on the pole. Christ sends His servants to tell you, look to Christ Jesus. But where you say, you look and you say, well, where is He? You know, that's just, that thing that is veiled now for this season of Lent. The crucifix there is, that's not Him. That's just an image of Him for us. So where is it? Where can you look today to see Christ? Where can you find Him at Holiday Island? Where you can find God where He tells you to look? God told the Israelites to look at some foolish thing on a cross. Today He tells us to look at what we may think is foolish to find Christ hanging on a cross and to live. God says to look for the crucified Christ in the words of absolution, in the waters of baptism, in the body and the blood of the Eucharist. So look here and live. He says that we are all sons of God through faith in Christ. For as many of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, from Galatians chapter 3. And he says in John 20, as many of you who have heard your pastor absolve your sins, you have been forgiven by the crucified Christ. And then God says that as many of you who have received this bread and wine, you've received the body and blood of Christ crucified for your sins. Where do we find Christ today in Holiday Island? In word and in sacrament. In these mysteries that make no sense to the world. In fact, it looks silly. And sometimes we even struggle with it because it just doesn't really make a lot of sense. It's one of the reasons that the Israelites did not look at the bronze snake on the cross, because for many of them it didn't make any sense. But God's word of promise was attached to it. Just like baptism, just like the Eucharist. He attached his word of promise of forgiveness, life, and salvation to them. Just like his own word as we read it and we hear it, and it builds up in us this faith in what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. So let nothing turn your attention from your snake on a pole, if you want to. Let nothing distract you from your Savior on the cross, in the Word, in the sacraments. Confess your sins and hear God's word of forgiveness spoken to you in the absolution. Soak up your Lord's preached word and studied word, and that he puts his promises in your ears, and run to the supper where life isn't itself is poured down your throats. It's one of the sadness that runs through the life of every pastor that I know. It's such a lack of hunger and thirst for word and sacrament among God's people that allows them to come up with all kinds of reasons that other things are more important today. Love them dearly. Not that they aren't saved, but they are missing out on so much of what God has for them. Don't let that take over your life. Know that God provided you these things so that you might see your salvation and live. Through all these things that many call silly, God gives you not a snake on a pole, but he gives you his Son upon a cross. And through the means of grace, as we Lutherans call them, God gives to you his anti-venom, his medicine of immortality for the forgiveness of your sins. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life. There is salvation. So look upon these gifts that God has given us in a material world. These literal material things. Water with his word attached to it. Bread and wine with his word attached to them. Promises. Promises to you for the forgiveness of your sins. Amen. Now may that peace that is beyond all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus.